Chapter 45. Nicanor led me to Vespasianos. But all the Romans flocked together to see me. And as the multitude crowded around me, their general, a tumult of discordant voices arose. Indeed, some exulted at my capture, but some threatened. But some pushed forward to obtain a closer view. And indeed, the more distant spectators clamored for the punishment of their foe, while those who were closer recalled my exploits and marveled at such a reversal of fortune. Now of the commanders, there was not one who, despite whatever past anger they had toward me, did not, at that time, relent at the sight of me. But in particular, Titos was specially moved, both by the fortitude I had displayed under my misfortunes, and by compassionate pity for my age. Also, when he recalled that only a short while ago I was a combatant, but now lay in the hands of my enemies, he was led to reflect on the power of fortune, and indeed the sharp tip of the scales of war, but the overall instability of human affairs. So at that time, he indeed induced many Romans to share his compassion for me. And his pleading with his father was the main influence in my salvation. However, Vespasianos strictly ordered me to be guarded with every precaution, intending shortly to send me to Nero. On hearing this, I expressed my desire for a private interview with him. So Vespasianos directed everyone to withdraw, with an exception of his boy Titos and two of his friends. I declared, "Indeed, Vespasianos, you imagine that in the person of Joseph, you have taken a mere captive. But I come to you as a messenger of greater things. For if God had not been sending me to you, I know the Judean law and how it becomes a general to die. Are you sending me to Nero? For what reason? Do you think that Nero and those who are next in line to succeed him prior to you will remain alive? You, Vespasianos, are Caesar and Emperor. You and your boy here. Now bind me even more securely in chains, and keep me for yourself. For indeed, you, Caesar, are master, not only over me, but over earth and sea, and all mankind. But if I have dared to trifle with anything of God, I certainly desire to receive retribution by stricter custody." Indeed, at the moment, Vespasiano seemed to attach little credibility to what I had spoken. But he supposed that it was a trick of mine, intending to bring about my own salvation. But It was not long before he was convinced and believed that what I had spoken was true. For God was already rousing in him thoughts of obtaining the command, and by other signs foreshadowing the royal scepter. But he also found that I had proved to have had spoken truth in other matters. For one of the two friends in attendance at the private interview declared,
"If these words are not a vain invention of the prisoner, in order to avert the anger which he has raised against himself, I cannot but wonder why Joseph neither foretold the fall of Yardfart to its inhabitants, or his own captivity."
But to this, I declared, "I did foretell to the Yadfatians that their city would be captured after 47 days, and that I myself would be taken alive by the Romans." When Vespasianus had privately questioned the captives about these predictions, he found them to be true. So, he began to believe what concerned himself. Therefore, he indeed did not release me from my custody in chains, but he compelled me to be continually in attendance on them. But he bestowed me with clothing and other precious gifts, and continued to treat me with both kindness and solicitude, with Titos warmly supporting him in these honors.